The anchor holds. Thank you, Sister Holly, for the reminder that Jesus Christ is the anchor.
Yes.
You know, he doesn't always calm the storm. Sometimes he calms you and gives you the strength to endure the storm. The anchor. Let's bow your heads with me. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to be in your presence, to experience your love. What a blessing it is to be able to come together freely to worship you. And now, Lord, we pray that as we have gathered here, you will now speak to our hearts. And may your message for us be clear today. Use even me, Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
You can run, but you cannot hide. We're all familiar with the story of Jonah. And that story is nothing fishy about that story. It's more than a whale of a story, I should say. And I would like you to follow with me in your Bibles, because this is going to span the book, which is a very short book, of Jonah. And that book is to be found, as I mentioned before, 8 books left of the New Testament. Go to Matthew and turn left. You will come to Jonah, 8 books to the left. And our study today will be in 4 segments. First, Jonah runs away from God. Secondly, Jonah runs to God. Thirdly, Jonah runs with God. And fourthly, Jonah runs ahead of God. Now, Jonah was a prophet of God, although not entirely flawless. In verses 1 and 2 of Jonah chapter 1, we see that the word of the Lord came to Jonah, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." God gave Jonah specific instructions to go to Nineveh and preach to them concerning their sinful and wicked practices, so that they might repent and be spared by him. You see, Nineveh had fallen into great sin and wickedness. And if you look at Nahum chapter 3, verses 1 to 6, which is the book next to Jonah, this speaks of the city of Nineveh. "Woe to the bloody city," it says. "It is all full of lies and robbery. The prey departeth not. the noise of a whip and the noise of the rattling of the wheels and of the prancing horses and of the jumping chariots. The horsemen lifted up both the bright sword and the glittering spear, and there is a multitude of slain and a great number of carcasses, and there is none end to their carcasses. They stumble upon their corpses. Because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcrafts that selleth nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcrafts. Behold, I am against thee, said the Lord of hosts. So we see Nineveh was a very sinful place. But my friends, when God says go, that's what he means. As we mentioned today before, in Matthew 28, verses 18 and 19, when God says, go ye therefore, he says. And here, God said go to Jonah. But Jonah said no. Jonah hears God's command and willfully disobeys. Why would he disobey God? Well, maybe he was afraid. My friend, if God calls you to do something, you need not fear, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What we should fear is the wrath of God upon us for our disobedience. We must obey God with the confidence that we can do all things by his strength. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Maybe Jonah thought he was not qualified for the job. Well, God will never tell someone to do something without supplying all they need to accomplish it. If God calls you to do something, be assured that he will supply all your needs. God doesn't always call the qualified, but he always qualifies the called. Perhaps Jonah feared being rejected. You know, rejection is something we all face at one time or another. I remember when I started many years ago to sell real estate. That was my greatest fear. Knocking on somebody's door and they slammed the door in my face. But I soon got over that. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. The Lord says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Maybe Jonah was afraid of the Ninevites being saved. You see, at that time, Nineveh was a large city, which was the capital of Assyria, and the Assyrians were Israel's greatest enemy. It was therefore not unlikely that Jonah wished that God would destroy them instead of restoring them. But verse 3 of Jonah chapter 1 says that instead of going to Nineveh, as God had commanded him, he ran away in the opposite direction, trying to get as far away from God as possible. God sent him 500 miles east of Jerusalem. And Jonah went 2,000 miles west of Jerusalem to Tarshish. My friends, you can run, but you cannot hide from God. For see, God is omnipresent. He is everywhere. And Psalm 139 reminds us of this. It says, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven. Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. God made a message for Jonah to deliver. God had a message for Jonah to deliver, and he has a purpose for you to fulfill. So listen for his voice and obey him. You know, some of us try to run our own lives because we think we're so smart. But all we do is make a mess of things. You may need to be saved, and you think you're smart enough to save yourself. But you will only sentence yourself to destruction. The truth is that we cannot save ourselves. Only Jesus can save us. Verse 3 of Jonah chapter 1 explains that Jonah went down to Joppa and got on a ship bound for Tarshish. But verse 4 tells us that the Lord sent out a mighty storm, and the ship was in danger of being broken apart. How many know that if you disobey God, you are in for a rough ride? The sailors feared for their lives. They began throwing things overboard to lighten the load for fear of sinking, and began calling on their idols to save them. But during all this, Jonah was asleep down below. So the men cast lots to see who they should blame for the storm, and the lot fell on Jonah. And then in verse 10, we see that Jonah identifies himself as a man of God, and the men became afraid. And then Jonah offered himself to be cast into the sea. And verse 15 tells us that after they cast Jonah into the water, the sea became calm. And verse 17 tells us that the Lord prepared a large fish to swallow him up. And he was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. And so we saw in chapter 1 that Jonah ran away from God. And now in chapter 2, verses 1 through 9, Jonah runs to God. Verses 1 and 2 say that Jonah in his distress prayed unto the Lord from the belly of that large fish, and God heard his prayer. Psalm 34, 17 through 20 says, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles." You see, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him from them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. How often we wait until we are in a serious situation to pray. You know, we should make it a habit to pray to God about everything, everything. See, God is not only interested in the emergencies of our lives. He wants to be involved in the everyday things and the guidance of our day-to-day activities. He wants to have a personal relationship with us. Daily prayer and Bible study are a must for spiritual growth. Here Jonah is repentant and thanks God for saving him from that watery horror. He renews his commitment to serve God. And in chapter 2, verse 9, he says, "I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." You know, some of us need to be saved today. Some of us have fallen overboard and are sinking deeper and deeper into the dark abyss, and only Jesus can save us. Romans 10 verses 9 and 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In the sixth, in verse 6, Jonah said, Lord, you brought me up again. My friend, you might feel very low right now, but the Lord is able to bring you up again and set you back on dry land. You may be clinging on to the things of this world which cannot save you. Verse 8 says, those who cling to worthless worldly idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. So again, in chapter 1, we saw that Jonah ran away from God. And then in chapter 2, we saw that Jonah ran to God in repentance and renewed his vows to him. And now in chapter 3, we see that Jonah ran with God. Verses 1 to 3 of chapter 3 said that the Lord gave him a second chance. Listen to what it says. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. God offers everyone a second chance. We all sinned and fell short of the glory of God, but God gives us a second chance to be forgiven of all our sins and be reconciled to our Heavenly Father through the blood of His only Son, Jesus Christ. Some of us remember God when we are in trouble, but forget Him as soon as He rescues us out of that situation. How many times have we said, Lord, if you get me out of this one this time, I will serve you for the rest of my life. And the Lord got you out. Hello. It was the night before they were to attack the enemy. And 100 soldiers wrote letters home. The chaplain collected them and put them away until after the battle. When the battle was over, the men wrote home again. Here's a sample of what the men wrote before the battle. Dear Mother, we are going to attack in the morning. And I have been thinking of home and you, and I vowed to God that if I come through tomorrow, I'm going to be a better man. Some even said, I believe I'm going to go into the ministry. But after the battle, to a friend in a different regiment, in the same handwriting, he writes, hey Joe, can you get leave? The last time we were in Paris, we had such a hot time, didn't we? I've just come through a scorcher up front, and we were near death every moment. If you can get leave and meet me in Paris, boy, we'll go out on the town and have a blast. Before the battle, oh God, if I get through tomorrow. After the battle, well, I got through, so I don't need God anymore. For many people, God is a very present help in time of trouble and sickness, and they cry out, oh God, but as soon as the trouble or sickness passes, it's back to, oh me. Verse 5 of chapter 3 says that as a result of Jonah's preaching, the Ninevites believed God. They repented of their evil deeds and humbled themselves before the Lord. They wore sackcloth as an act of humility and fasted and prayed to God for forgiveness. My friend, God stands ready to forgive the sins of all who will come to Him in repentance and accept His free gift of salvation. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 6 of chapter 3 says, for word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. My friend, sackcloth is what it says. Sackcloth. It was something like a carcass bag in which they would store grain. So the king took off his silk robe and his golden crown with precious stones, put on sackcloth, left his comfortable throne, and sat in a pile of ashes. I would say that he was definitely moved by the Spirit. So he set the example for many to follow, and he spread the word abroad by issuing a decree that all should likewise fast and pray and repent of their sin, their evil and wickedness, that God might have mercy on them and spare Nineveh. My brothers and sisters, we must trust and obey God even when the outcome seems unclear to us. For that's what faith is. If your obedience to God was based solely on what you can see or what makes sense to you, there would be no faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. True faith does not look at the obstacles, but rather at God. There was a dear old lady who was known for her faithful obedience to God. And one day someone said to her, I believe that if you thought the Lord told you to jump through a stone wall, you would jump. The old lady replied, if the Lord told me to jump through a wall, it would be my business to jump, and it would be His business to make the hole in the wall. That's faith. So again in chapter 1, Jonah runs from God. In chapter 2, he runs to God. In chapter 3, he runs with God. And now in chapter 4, we will see that Jonah tries to run ahead of God. Verses 1 and 2 tell us that Jonah was very angry. He was displeased that God would show mercy to the Ninevites and spare them from destruction. He apparently expected God to be kind enough to show mercy to him, delivering him out of the fish's belly, but not to show love and forgiveness to the Ninevites, simply because they were disliked by the Israelites. You know that some people think that God should only be good to them and bless them and show them mercy and kindness, but not to other people. Do you think that you are more deserving of God's salvation than someone else? My friends, we don't deserve anything. In fact, what we really deserve is death. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever, that's what it says in verse 2 of chapter 4. Jonah admitted that he fled to Tarshish because he did not want his enemies to be saved. But we are commanded to love our enemies and to pray for those who would do us harm. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Jonah was angry. He could not stand to see good come to his enemies. So in verse 3, he begs God to take his life. The same life he begged God to save from the belly of the fish. In verse 5, says, "So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. But even then the Lord did not forsake him, but made a vine to grow to supply him with shelter. But Jonah continued his pining, and the Lord took away the vine which he had provided for him." My friends, if you run the marathon of life, don't run from God, for you can run, but you cannot hide. Don't run ahead of him. Let him make the path straight for you to follow. Put your life in God's hands and trust him to guide it. Trying to guide your own life yourself will surely make a mess of things. There was a woman whose birthday was approaching. So she thought it wise to drop a few hints to her husband regarding her birthday gift. So she said, "Dear, I want something shiny in that garage that can go from 0 to 200 in seconds." Her birthday soon came, and she opened the garage door, peeked in it, only to find a brand new shiny scale in it. Needless to say, her husband is still on the run. Be careful what you ask for. Running your own life is dangerous. Run to Jesus. Run to him when you can't find your way. Because he says in John chapter 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Run to Jesus. Run to him when you're overcome by the darkness of this world. For in John 8, 12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Run to Jesus. Run to him when you find yourself in such a mess that you can't find your way out, or you feel so left out and rejected that you can't find your way in. For in John 10, verse 9, Jesus said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." Run to Jesus. Run to him when it seems no one cares. For in John 10, 11, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Run to him. Run to Jesus when you come face to face with death, which we will. For in John 11, 25, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Run to Jesus when he corrects you for your own good. For John 15, 1 and 2 said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." Run to Jesus when you need strength to carry on. John 15:5, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. That's right, my friends. Without Jesus Christ, we are nothing. We can do nothing. And if you think you don't need God and you have your own life under control, you just stop your breath for 5 minutes. The Lord, by His grace and mercy, gives you even every breath that you take. So why don't you surrender your all to Him today? I invite you to run to Jesus today before it's too late. Come to Him saying, Lord, I surrender my all to You. Come into my heart. Forgive me of every sin. And save me. I invite you today to walk down this aisle if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Walk down this aisle during the singing of the invitation and the and surrender your all to Him. It will be the best decision that you have ever made. Amen. Our loving Heavenly Father, thank You for speaking to us today. Reminding us that You're always there, ready to receive us. We can always run to You. And if we try to run away from You, we can run, but we cannot hide. Because You're the omnipresent One. You're everywhere. You're the omnipotent One. You're all-powerful. You're the omniscient One. You know all things. And You're the omnificent One, the Creator of all things. Have Your own way now, Lord, as we wait upon You. Give You all praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation is number 275, I Surrender All.